are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Finding Your Forte podcast. I'm really excited about the episode we have planned for you today. This show, if you are a repeat listener, you know that the show is all about people, organizations, and high-performing teams pursuing purpose and in a way to focus their impact. And today, we have an opportunity to focus on an organization whose missions I have come to intimately know and love. And I'm a huge fan of the leader that I have the pleasure of introducing you to today. I'm going to welcome to our show Melissa Torres. She's the president and executive director for the Forum on Education Abroad. Hello, Melissa.
Hi, Reggie. So pleased to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. I know that you have been crazy busy over the last few weeks, and that coming right behind our completion of our strategic articulation process. So you have been going for a little while, right?
Yes. Yeah, really, ever since the start of COVID, it's been a roller coaster. Our field has, you know, really been impacted, and we've been just going nonstop trying to help our members get through the pandemic.
Yeah, I think that is a very fascinating exploratory conversation we can have that I really want to get into, because obviously COVID has impacted so many organizations in such different ways. We just finished talking about a small business that's really thriving, your sister's small business is really thriving. And then, you know, for you all, it's been about navigating a future forward on a mission that's really important through something that's really become constrained during this time. So I want to come back to that, but I would be remiss if I didn't start with just giving listeners an opportunity to meet you, learn a little bit about your background and how you have recently come to this organization, this work, and why it's so, you know, such a fulfilling passion for you.
Oh, it's an amazing field to work in. I have worked in international education for over 20 years now, and I kind of fell into the profession accidentally. Our field has grown and professionalized quite a lot since I joined it. And I guess what draws me to it is the ability to impact students' lives. Education abroad is really one of those experiences that sticks with a person for their whole life. And that's been backed up by research that shows it's one of the most impactful experiences that college students have. And yes. I am a first generation college student myself. My dad was a mechanic. My mother was a grocery store cashier. And to be able to work with colleges and universities across the country and around the world, as well as education abroad organizations that do such important work, is really a privilege.
That's so awesome. I want to really kind of, kind of stabilize our conversation by, starting out really with you just kind of giving a fundamental overview for our listeners on who the Forum on Education Abroad is and what your work is, and maybe even talk about this kind of annual conference that you all have that you just wrapped up successfully.
Sure. I never tire of talking about the Forum. We are a 501c3 nonprofit membership association. We're hosted by Dickinson College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And we're recognized by the U.S. Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission as the standards development organization for the field of education abroad. And what that means in plain English is that we have the responsibility for setting standards for high quality ed abroad programs. And colleges, universities, program providers, they're all supposed to adhere to and follow the standards. Before COVID, we had just over 800 members, and we're down to about 650 now, but a very committed and loyal membership. Our mission is to cultivate educators who champion high-quality education abroad experiences that ignite curiosity, impact lives, and contribute to a better world. So it's a really lofty mission, but it's alive and well, and we think about this really in everything that we do. To situate the organization, we're actually just in the process of celebrating our 20-year anniversary. Thank you. And part of that celebration has been looking back at the founding of the organization and what it stood for and why people came together to form this organization. And then also taking stock of where we are and where the field is headed. And so where the Forum is headed by as a result.
I really want to go back and talk about something that you teed up earlier that I think is the part of your mission that I get as excited about and gives me kind of warm palpitations about what you all do for our world to make it better. And that is just the enrichment of creating a global perspective in students and how you have taken, kind of ownership and accountability for setting the standards about how that happens. And you'll likely recall, we'll talk about the process that we went through here shortly, but you'll likely recall, you may have noted, I got really excited about the usefulness and relevance of that in the world we live today. And how important it is that, especially when you think about some of the strife and some of the challenges that are not only global issues, but are national and local and community issues. Mm-hmm. Really, if you start kind of pulling up the weeds and tracking it down to kind of where these problems came from, in a lot of cases, is just, kind of a lack of exposure to people unlike yourself.
That's right.
You know what I mean? That's right. And so the fact that you all have institutionalized creating that experience for students, and setting standards for the way to do that in a, kind of a safe and practical and intentional way, I think is such a noble and noteworthy mission.
Well, it doesn't happen by accident. Even if students travel to another country or study in another culture, they don't automatically learn the things that we want them to learn. They don't necessarily develop the relationships with the local community or the respect for the local community. Those have to be intentionally designed by experts who understand how to help students get from where they are to to really thinking and becoming global, thinking like and becoming global citizens. And I think that's where the profession of education abroad really comes into play, in helping students take that local context that they know well, but then also understand issues like climate change or the pandemic are great examples. They don't know boundaries or borders. They don't respect countries' borders, but it's absolutely imperative that we understand and work together as a global community to address those issues, both locally, nationally, and globally, ultimately, if we're going to succeed.
Which is the thing I get really excited about, because I can't think of another organization that has taken ownership of creating that convening, not necessarily directly with the students, but with educators and administrators and deans and like professionals that have taken ownership for creating those experiences for students across the globe, and having them do that in an intentional way with the work that you all do to impart knowledge and create professional development opportunities. And I know you just completed the kind of primary channel for that, creating that convening with your conference. Would you share a little bit more about the conference you just completed, and perhaps maybe even share some of the things that were discussions, that really important discussions that you all had?
Sure. So one of the things that drew me to this field originally is the open sharing of knowledge. And the Forum is a very strong organization because our members are willing to share not only what has worked well and what resources they've developed at their institutions, but also what hasn't worked and where their challenges and their fears are. And so it's very powerful when you have a group of people that are extraordinarily committed to the same mission and working in a similar role, if not, the environments are very different, but in a similar capacity with similar goals, and you're able to share and have those open, honest conversations. So every year we have an annual conference. It's normally a face-to-face event. Last year we were 2 weeks away from the annual conference when the COVID-19 lockdown restrictions began. And so really with 2 weeks notice, we decided to pivot to a virtual conference. Wow. And we pushed the date out a little bit into April, and gave ourselves 6 weeks to train 120 presenters, to get over 1,000 participants into the new system, and get 100 exhibitors set up. So it was a Herculean effort last year. And remarkably, we were really good at it. And our team learned a lot of new skills. So since that time, we've done almost 40 virtual events, including the second virtual conference, which just happened last week. And seems like a year ago already, but it was just last week. And, and we had 600 people attend that. And I think it's because, again, people are hungry to connect with each other, to understand how different institutions are responding and reacting to the crisis. And we've spent months now talking about not just rebuilding the field of education abroad, but restructuring it so that it's more equitable, it's accessible to more people. The resources that we're creating and sharing can be used by institutions outside the United States as well. We have a about 10% of our members are international, internationally based. And, you know, and we're intentionally trying to cultivate more relationships and partners with folks in other countries so that everyone gets the benefit of this learning and we impact more students.
That's so fascinating. And I gotta, you know, as you shared that, I'm reminded of the unique opportunity and honor I had with a microcosm of the folks that you're talking about that serve on the on a committee that you all created to architect your vision forward to be able to realize the mission that you described earlier. And having gone through that experience with folks that are so keenly and intentionally tuned into that mission and were willing to show up and do whatever was asked of them, obviously, sometimes even without knowing what they were providing, got us through a really powerful and inspiring process to articulate your strategic plan forward. And personally, I consider that quite an honor. I mean, yes, it's what I, kind of do professionally and, was able to bring to bear the offering we have around this, but it was about so much more than that. We're working with the group. And I commend you for the work you did to kind of mobilize that group and engage them in a way that enabled them to show up in such a powerful and impactful way. You had a pretty powerful partnership with your board chair, with Inda Carroll. Shout out to Inda from this conversation that you both did what was required to create really what I consider to be some career-long relationships. I still see those folks on LinkedIn, and it was just a plaudable experience to work with such a, just high caliber people and get them all on the same page to articulate a vision.
Well, thank you. I appreciate those kind words. Let's not minimize the fact that the reason that we were able to engage in that process is because we had you as our fearless leader, and you motivated people to stay involved and to bring their best thinking to a really important effort. And that, again, that doesn't happen by accident, right? It doesn't happen just because you get a group of people together in a Zoom room. You need that leadership and vision for where this process is going. And
well, thank you. I appreciate that's quite kind, but we could easily sit and argue about whose contribution were most important, but let's just both kumbaya and celebrate that it happened and the right people showed up for the right conversations for us to create what I think is a pretty powerful result.
Well, I think it's important to stress that, though, because if you work with an external facilitator, you don't always get the feeling that they're really bought into your success. And the committee that we put together, I think one of the reasons that it was so powerful and productive is because the example was set right from the very beginning, both in the communication that people received from Enda, who is an exemplary leader and opens up spaces for brave conversation and blue sky thinking. Frankly, higher education sometimes suffers from a reputation of not being welcoming or being critical of new ideas. And Enda really did set that tone. And she does in every interaction you have with her. And then we had you, who did a masterful job of explaining the process and you know, and being the head cheerleader sometimes of motivating people, myself included, to do a video when you may not have been comfortable, or, you know, using a new technology. I know we used Mural a bit, you know, and creating that buy-in. But the committee, I think, was, I mean, we carefully had a list, honestly, of about 40 people that we had to whittle down. So it was an embarrassment of riches, really. Yeah. And the reason why our 13 or 14 people, I don't remember exactly how many were on the committee. I think the reason why they stayed so engaged is because they understood that they represented hundreds, if not thousands, of colleagues who would have very gladly served in their place. And so the plan that they were creating is meant to serve those colleagues that you know our committee is so dedicated to. And I think that's why they stayed engaged, even though I know originally we thought this was going to be an in-person retreat to kick us off. But even though we didn't have that opportunity, people stayed very engaged and came up with a strategic articulation that was far beyond anything I could have imagined we would produce.
Well, engaged they were for sure. And, you know, we did have the richness of, you know, having those contributions. I mean, it was interesting, you know, you mentioned, you know, kind of recording the videos. And I just remember thinking when we were sitting in our sessions, the beauty and the inspiration and just having a random committee member articulate their particular vision, you know, perspective of a vision, and how inspiring that was. And I would often think, man, I should probably be recording this. And then to have someone else weigh in with it. And in some cases, beautifully challenge it, you know, and make 2 points that met in Fusion even better. And then to be able to put those in a structure that we were able to come away out of this process with some pretty well articulated vision snapshots that, you know, now that whole team can say, you know, these are the 12 things that we want to see out in our 5 to 6 year future. And here are the things that we're going to do to kind of start walking in that direction. The fact that they all went through that collaborative process together, and they know that these are the things that are most important, the priorities that are most important that we have to get right. And they've got this kind of placemat of a plan to be able to guide that process that was really well received from your board, I think is, again, at a high level, a description of, you know, that's how it was designed to happen. Yes, they get me. So,
yeah.
Go ahead, Melissa.
No, I was just saying the experiment works. It's successful.
Yeah.
And you don't get to that kind of, I know your listeners are hearing a lot about the strategic articulation and don't have it in front of them, but it's both achievable and visionary.
Yeah.
And those, that's a rare combination. I read a lot of strategic plans and I think, oh yeah, that sounds great. You know, you and what army are going to accomplish. And just on Monday, in fact, I was looking through the implementation timeline and the, you know, think big, scale fast milestones that were included. And, you know, I can already assign staff to different things. I can see where we have some gaps. And I'm excited to get started. You know, it's not a document that's just going to sit on a website or sit in a folder somewhere on somebody's right. desk. It's going to be right. a live process that we yeah. go over the next 6 years.
Well, you know, as a partner and a friend and a fellow Buckeye.
Oh, wait.
I am excited to have been a part of that process and to watch it unfold. Yeah, I have a common vision for what I know that you all are about to create on the horizon. And I can just tell all the listeners, be excited about it. Just know that somewhere there is a student, either in your family or in your friend or your circle of influence, that's going to attend the university and is going to be impressed on about the importance of having a global, you know, kind of perspective. And they're going to explore and want an education abroad experience. And because of the Forum on Education Abroad, there will be standards for that. There will be partners that connect and collaborate on them that will be done in an equitable way, that, you know, this opportunity will be extended to one and all that hope for this. And that they have been very careful and deliberate about articulating the vision and the work required to create that. So bravo for that.
Thank you. I really can't say it any better myself. I appreciate your commitment to our success. I heartily second your urging people to talk to the young folks in their lives. And it shouldn't be a question of if they're going to study abroad or do an internship abroad. It should be, when are you going to do it? And
absolutely.
Yeah, there's lots of thought have gone into health and safety planning, even before COVID, of course, but now especially since. And I just can't impress upon you enough how important it is that we not leave a generation of students behind. They're not competing with, you know, students from that state up north, otherwise known as Michigan. They're competing with eager, intelligent, and, you know, motivated students in India and China and all around the globe. So they need that global mindset to really be competitive and to make our country competitive. So,
absolutely. Well, we are certainly, you know, on the precipice of watching that unfold. And thank you to you and the forum for your work to give us something to look forward to. Particularly in trying times now, is that we watch people's really struggle in kind of trying to find their connectivity and having them have exposure to each other in such a way that's been so carefully thought through and intentional by your organization just makes me feel a lot better about the world that we're living in. If that's not too much sugar for your tooth.
Well, thank you. Thanks to you, Reggie, again, for helping us along the path to making that a reality for every student that wants to participate.
It was absolutely my pleasure. And thank you so much for joining me for this conversation. And I've been eager to share this experience with folks that are keenly focused on understanding organizations and leaders like yourself that are kind of charting their way to fulfilling their purpose and their mission to create the impact of their work. And so thank you for so much for joining this conversation.
It's been my pleasure. Certainly.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And for our listening, for our listeners, you can certainly enjoy listening to uptomeradio.com, which is our host organization. And you can go to the Finding Your Forte channel, which this is a show on that channel. If you go to the page, you can subscribe for updates. You can get free gifts. You can get sponsor promotions and more. All of that's on the page for uptomeradio.com. So that's UP, the number two, me, M-E, radio.com. And then, of course, stay connected with us on Facebook and Instagram at Up to Me Radio. That's the channel in both cases. Podcasts can also be heard on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Just search for Up to Me Radio and or Finding Your Forte, and you'll be able to find this and many of these similar conversations. And with that, I will close out our time and invite you to always find your forte, compose your masterpiece, and play your crescendo. Have an amazing day wherever you are.
Your heart and